months ago, as well as a forwarder. It's comprised basically of DNS libraries, C++, not C, and Python. Yes, Python. So it's a little bit interesting for me, who has basically compiled Bind from muscle memory for so many years, seeing all the C++ go across the screen and compile slowly. So right now, the current timetable is fall 2011 for a production-ready authoritative name server, and then spring 2012, a production-ready resolver, so as in .0. So this is what the process model looks like. I will not try to explain it all. But basically, we're going more of a sort of a postfix model where important bits are made into chunks, and you have an overarching master process. So it's a lot like postfix, as well as we have a command channel running in between. So you log into administrative channel and do things very Cisco-y in that respect. So the pending features, here are the list. It's basically a lot of the basics. Tsig, views, IXFR, DNSSEC validation for the recursive, and polishing up the command tool. So production experience, nothing beats like writing our own code or eating our own dog food. Bind10.isc.org, that's where the project website is. The zone is actually being served from a Bind10 server. ISC's AS112 mirror. Basically, AS112 is all the RFC 1918 responses. So eventually we'll add it to there, have a public test resolver, our own in-house resolvers, and then later on in 2012, our secondary name service and fruit. Yep.
Okay, 2 minutes for questions.
And here are our sponsors.
Well done. Questions?
Bind9 has been working pretty good for quite a number of years. Why rewrite from the ground up, which is what this sounds like?
Revolution
instead of evolution. Performance. Bind9 is basically one big from operator perspective, is one big monolithic binary. We don't have very good API documentation. It's very hard to stick in things like database backends and so forth. So what we're trying to do here is trying to build a ecosystem. So it's easier for people to put in database plugins like SQLite, Postgres. What we're also planning to do is have things like a DHCP backend, a DHCP plugin, so you can run your DHCP. You can do your dynamic updates directly from the server there. So it's basically a lot performance and much more extendability.
All right. Thank you. There you go.
Selling to the t-shirt of the logo at the auction, and we're hiring.
Okay, so as you may know or not, there is an audit framework in FreeBSD, which is basically responsible for recording security relevance events. Stuff like this process opened this file for writing, or this process changed owner of this file and stuff like that. Or there was a login via OpenSSH and other similar events. The current problem, in my opinion, is that all the audit records are recorded locally. If you turn on auditing, you probably want to use it for postmodern analysis. So if you store the logs only locally, the problem is that someone who breaks in can modify them or remove them or do something evil with them. So how can you know that the logs are intact? I started to work to implement a daemon who is supposed to distribute audit records as they come in to remote hosts. So I try to keep the latency down. So I try to send the logs as soon as I can. So if someone breaks in and stops the daemon, we can still have some logs to investigate how. how this actually happened. And there are some characteristics of this daemon. I want to be able to send the logs to several remote hosts. I want the host who is gathering the logs to accept those logs from many systems. And there are some few challenges. Reliability. We cannot afford losing any logs because those are actually important logs. Those are not regular system syslog logs we send using UDP. We have to be sure all the logs are there. We want to keep the latency down. We need performance because in system, when you have audit turned on, you can have many hundreds events per second. We want to protect the data on the wire, so we probably will use SSL. And we have to deal with compromised clients. So when someone breaks in, we don't want him to skip to the log host using holes in our protocol. So, of course, we will use Capsicum to protect audit this D. The status, the work is... I have a sender site almost done, which is more or less one-third of the entire project. If your company is interested in such project, just contact me. Thank you. Are there any questions? Of course.
Well done. 2 seconds left. Any questions?
I could check the integrity, but I can still lose the logs.
Yeah, sure.
So and I don't really want to lose them. So, yes.
How might they
Yeah, it really depends on your configuration. For example, for my needs, I only log stuff like executions and opens. But some people audit stuff like reading and writings, which are basically huge amount of events. But audit subsystem can slow down your system to keep up. So it really depends. But it's nothing like syslog logs. It's totally different number of events you want to handle.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, so that says most of it, a C++ runtime in the kernel. The goal is to provide a loadable kernel module that I'll call libc++, so you can optionally write in C++ if you have a desire to do it. I hope to have zero impact upon C developers should it ever get accepted, and I eventually hope to get full C++ OX support. The reason I want to do this, for more than anything else, STL and RAII helps manage resources a lot better than some things I think we're doing. Some of the other things up here can be useful, and there's a lot of bike sheds about it, and we can talk about that in the questions. The challenge is for getting it in the kernel was there are some compiler options you have to change and getting actual support for exceptions and libraries in the kernel. There are also open questions of licensing issues that I have to look at. What I've done so far is constructors, destructors, inheritance, and templates, and virtual functions all work in the kernel, and they took almost no support. It pretty much comes right out of the compiler. I had to map new and delete into malloc and free, and I gave support for struct malloc, and I've re-implemented some STL components under a BSD license, and I have some struct mutex and scoped locks and conditions that are re-managed. What I don't have working is any C++ OX or exceptions. I just got libunwind linking in the kernel this weekend, and it panics. And I don't really have good support for RTTI and C++ yet. So, questions? Yes, sir. I can't hear your question.
What about the security implications of C++
vtables?
Yeah.
I don't see them being any worse than a cdev sw struct. I mean, if you're going to have a bunch of function pointers, that's no different than a vtable, in my opinion. Other questions? Don't be shy.
Do you really want exceptions in the kernel?
I don't think they're appropriate at the lowest levels, say in an interrupt driver or something. But I would think maybe in a file system, it wouldn't be horrible to say, "Oh, I didn't find an exception," and just throw it and unwind. It's important you ask that. I have support for exceptions in a different respect. That I think it's important to wrap every C++ function call with some kind of try-catch block to make sure that you never leak an exception across a C boundary, because that would be very dangerous. You'd leak tons of resources, etc. So I think they need to be kept in the C++ land if you're going to have exceptions. And so it's the responsibility and the onus is on the C++ programmer. It shouldn't affect the C programmers. Yes?
How big?
How big is what?
How big is the footprint?
I don't know yet. I expect it not to be any bigger than the binary that you have for libstandard C++.so. I don't think it should be much bigger than that. But it's a good question. Yes. Why? Oh, yes, Eric, why? Because unlike you, I think C++ is very useful. I agree the syntax is ugly, but I think it helps do some tasks a lot better. I think the most important reason was to get STL access, and I have that already. And I think exceptions might potentially be useful, and it's an option. It's not everyone must do it. Yes. That code bloat from template expansion? Well, I've been doing a lot of... I can't hear you. Oh, can that give bloat? Yes, it probably can. I think it really will, but we usually put our symbols on kernel modules separate, so I don't see that really getting loaded into the kernel.
I think we're going to stop this one because we fight about C++.
We could. It's a bike shed, yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, so this is not an exhaustive list. So I'm here to talk a little bit about FreeBSD 9.0. These are some of the highlights of things that are already in the release or we expect will be in the release coming up. One is in the network stack, we have a couple of things such as pluggable congestion control for TCP, so you can have different congestion control algorithms on different sockets, which is useful if you have a socket that goes across a large ocean and a socket that goes, you know, to the machine next door. Some TCP scalability improvements. Specifically, this is something Robert Watson's been working on. It was actually one of Alan Cox's students from a long time ago, called connection groups, and it has to do with how you align locking and affinity in the TCP stack to minimize overhead so you don't require 47 locks on the way down and then back up, but still allow parallelism within the stack. We now have a port of the OFED stack, including InfiniBand and FreeBSD 9, so there is support for several Mellanox cards out of the box in FreeBSD 9. Well, you have to compile it in, but I think it's not in generic. But
non-generic,
but it's effectively out of the box once you load the module. We've switched the default NFS client and server to the new NFS client and server that has NFS v4 support and no more go-to NFS in and out. We have a new installer. We have further improvements in scalability in the VM system. Older releases, there is a global lock around certain queues that we use to manage VM pages at a low level. And that lock has now been split up into some smaller pieces to allow more concurrency in the VM system. Let's see. We have very rudimentary support for NUMA that is in 9. It's not enabled by default, but it's a one-character change to enable it, as we did today on a test box. I don't want to steal the thunder, but there are patches to support systems with a lot of CPUs in them that will be in 9. Soft updates with journaling is going to be in 9 and on by default for new installs. We have a new ATA driver and stack that's tied into CAM that has support, much better support for things like NCQ and port multipliers. We have ZFS version 28, support for trim for SSDs via NUFIS and FISC, and also I believe live updates once you do the FISC minus E. And event timers infrastructure that allows us to do deadline scheduling or tick list type scheduling in the kernel. We now ship Clang and LLVM in the base system. It's not currently the default, but you can compile any binary you wish with Clang. We have Capsicum, which is some very interesting security stuff having to do with privilege separation on steroids, I guess is how you could possibly describe it. And we have non-executable stack by default for most binaries on AMD64 and PowerPC. And one thing that's not on there that I guess we probably really could add is, because the reason I'm bouncing around is I got Beehive to compile on 9. So, just the kernel bits, but presumably user line is easy, right? So this is the schedule for 9. That, well, yeah. Thumbs up? Okay, well, you can see the dates.
Well, I have questions. You can see the questions.
Questions?
I have no questions.
No questions?
Wow. All right,
question.
What's coming up for
10? No.
Come back next year.
Yeah, there you go.
Hi, I'm Ryan Stone from Sandvine. I'm going to talk about some work I've done to do what I call L2 virtualization in IXGBE. That's a term I picked up from the Crossbow project in Solaris. What it basically allows you to do is hardware-assisted transparent virtual interfaces. By transparent, I mean for anything above the driver, you don't know that there's only one card beneath you. The hardware assistance comes in that the hardware is going to multiplex packets across different queues for you via MAC address so you don't have to do that in software, which can help your scalability. As I say up there, you had almost no resource contention on the transmit and receive paths. I'm going to get into just a second what I mean by almost. So the main use case I see for this for somebody running FreeBSD is if you're using jails or especially VNet, it will allow you to give a different VNet direct access to the outside world if that's what you want to do. Currently, I'm not too familiar with VNet, but I believe you have to do crazy thing with bridge interfaces and e-pair interfaces to get a VNet to get out to the outside world. In this case, you could just create a virtual interface assigned to that VNet and you're done. Now, before you get too excited, this does not use SRIOV or it's not a VF implementation, virtual functions. A lot of people have been asking me about that. I don't do that. A couple implementation challenges for this. Pretty much every driver in the world is going to assume that for every physical interface you have, you present one interface to the rest of the kernel. So in order to do this, you have to basically refactor everything. So that's the biggest challenge I have. The work is basically done in our own branch. There's some cleanup, and I have to come up with a way to present it to Jack Vogel in a way that's really reviewable and that he can get in. The other thing that was sort of interesting is the older cards don't allow you to replicate packets across different queues, which is a bit weird. If you want to receive broadcast packets, you've got to send it to every single interface. It's not very hard. You create a separate queue, send all broadcast packets there and replicate it across, but it gets a bit weird. So what haven't I done yet? I currently have RSS disabled. This is only software issue. The hardware supports both the virtualization and RSS. For those of you who don't know RSS, the hardware will compute a hash over incoming packets and use that hash to multiplex against different queues. That allows scalability. I don't want to disable that. A lot of people use that for performance. And then try to figure out a way to do auto configuration such that I don't break any existing. I'm out of time.
Has Jack looked at this code yet at all?
He has not looked at the code yet. I don't have a patch that I feel comfortable with presenting to other people yet.
Oh,
it's mixed in with a lot of other stuff that's completely irrelevant. I don't want to really share.
Thank you.
Question in the way in the back.
Yes. Why don't I? So there are two reasons. Number one, the Auplin cards don't support SRIOV, so I absolutely have to support that for what I need to do. The other reason is that requires a lot. That's a much broader change, including changes to the PCI subsystem that just wasn't in scope for me.
All right. Thanks very much.
Real briefly, Attilio and I are here to thank and hug everybody here in the room. This has been a large group effort. We're talking about large SMP. This is getting FreeBSD to run on a system with more than 32 logical or physical CPUs. Pretty much, I think one in every three people in this room has worked with us to get these systems working. We really appreciate all the maintainers' help and the support we're getting from everybody in the community. This is really a group project, and we're going to need more help real soon because this is going to break everything. I'll be doing something with libmemstat this week, I guess. Right now we're running 128 logical CPUs on a test system loaned to us by HP and Cupertino. We're running 48 cores. Thank you. We're running 48 core Opteron boxes back at the office. We've got other people testing 48 and 64 cores. Robert has threatened to test on 80, I think. A couple of the highlights here. Sun4V is going to die, so it's no longer good. Thank you. It is. It's already dead. This will be an interesting exercise in performance testing for everybody's code. The scheduler is having issues. There you go. We're running at a load average of 105. There you go. Right at the bottom, CPU 112 is doing something or other. But it's just running yes. It's running yes. Anyway, that's it. Any questions? I don't think so.
Repeat the question.
Since we're touching all of this code, is it really... How did you put it?
Well, typically you're looking at loops iterative CPUs because they may have to iterate the data from the iterators. I assume that the automata may not be correctly checking the CPU.
We haven't run into that situation yet. Yet. Any other questions? All right, we're out of here.
Thank you.
All right, we heard about page lock work in 9 just a moment ago. And despite that, there's still a lot of contention on the VM page queue lock. And in addition to that, the LAU page replacement algorithm that's used for the inactive queue has some problems. It's not scan resistant. And we started a research project at work to look into that and to see if we can possibly fix that. It's still very much in flux. Right now it's similar to Clock Pro, which is used in NetBSD and Linux. I don't know if it is in Linux, but there were patches floating around. But it is adapted to our locking module. Model has more bells and whistles, some of which may be specific to our use cases, but we are still very much experimenting. We have some promising first results with medium memory sizes, 4 to 12 gig, but we don't see any benefit for large memory sizes, mainly because of the contention. I did start breaking up the page queue lock by splitting the queue into one queue per CPU and then one. There is still a single page daemon. I scan the queues round robin. I use marker pages to keep the LRU order. It's lightweight, it's simple, it cuts contention more than tenfold, but it's the contention on the VM page queue lock, and it just moves on. So now the free lock is contended, VM object locks get more contention, and some other locks that are private to our system or that are in your file system or wherever they are will see more contention. And there's additional work to reduce these as well. As for status, as I said, it's a work in progress, really. There are benchmarks running right now. We do plan to share the patches as soon as we have something that's worth sharing, and we intend to discuss. So, any questions? Okay, then. We are hiring as well.
Thanks. Could Baptiste Darassin is next, who I've been looking for in the audience and I cannot find. Anyone seen Baptiste? I guess not. René Ladin is also on the list. Wow. They're not here either. Well, that makes that a little shorter. And then, you're not letting him out of his chair. Okay.
But you, but no, 3 minutes.
Well, just speak quickly.
Do you want to talk or not?
That's a thing. Shoot. We can come in 3 minutes.
Okay. So you don't want to cover this or not?
No.
Okay. All right. well, there you go. and the last. There you go. Is the shortest one. And then, is Henning here?
Yes.
Where? All right. Well, then you each get to speak for 1 minute.
Okay. All right, if you're talking, you take the mic.
I take the mic. So I'm talking about what's going to happen in OpenBSD. We just released OpenBSD 4.9 in 1st May. There's lots of new stuff in OpenBSD 4.9. For E386 and AMD64, the most important things is that we now support the ASNI instructions. We have better integration for VMT, for VMware tools. AMD64 runs now up to 64 CPUs.
Spark 64 does 128, by the way.
And Spark 64 does 128, but our kernel is not fully SMP, so it's all big lock. But it works for userland. We run multiprocessor and HPPA boxes. We actually run on SON4V. We actually support the hypervisor, and we can host open Solaris out of a hypervisor running on OpenBSD. So this is pretty cool. We have a couple of new drivers. Very important is uTwitch. This is a driver for a twitching device.
I failed and forgot to pack it again. You attach it to your knee, and whenever you move your knee, it sends an event to the machine, and this actually feeds the random pool. So
yeah.
Increase the
very important. We have all support, multiplier support. We using ATA SCSI for a long time, so this is very similar. Our MCL GetEye got a lot better. We have TCP socket splicing, so you can splice two sockets together in the kernel and run traffic directly through it, so you don't have to go through user land for that. We have AES GCM mode for IPsec. We have TCP receive and send buffer scaling for TCP, wake on LAN support. We have MPLS now enabled in generic. PF has a new logging subsystem. We can do matches on rules so that we can rule traces. PF log now includes the original addresses in that.
So if you look at the PF log, you see both the rewritten and the original addresses. This is really useful.
Yes.
And next slide. Also, what's not on the slides, we now log on the fly. So you see the packet just as PF sees it at that very same moment where you hit the log rule.
Yeah. Then we had done a rather big IPsec stack outed because of a very stupid mail that was sent to us. We found a few issues, and they all got fixed. We now have a better ARC4 and PRNG code.
Nothing of that had anything to do with the FBI or any of those.
Yeah. We removed Graph from base. And this is the upcoming stuff.
Questions?
Yes. Yes.
Does anyone want to pull away the HPPA gear I have in my basement?
Yeah.
Depends on what it is.
A500s, J6000s, go call yourself.
J6000 is interesting, yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
Whatever. What are you
doing? Hey. Talk.
You mentioned the BMT driver. Is that something that's written brand new, or is that like ported from VMware?
I think it's from scratch.
It's from scratch. It was written by David Gwynn. It was based on the information from, I think, the documentation of VMware. So it's from scratch. SSH already has that, as far as I know. Wow.
He's accusing you of having small buffers.
Yeah, we have small buffers.
All right, thank you very much. We are done.
Of course, you know he meant the whip session was done.
I was done.
Yeah. One of the traditions we've had over the years is having an auction of swag. Those people with swag that wanted to give it to me all day long, could you bring it down now, please, and pile it here? If you want to describe your swag as you're dropping it off, feel free. The comment was, am I auctioning articles of my clothing that I am wearing at the moment. If you don't know the details of that, you should have a look at the photographs from last year. This year, I'll also be entertaining requests for keeping my clothes on.
This is the last one you will ever get. Okay. That's the last one I got.
Okay. So I'm hoping that the bidding for the latter would be higher than the bidding for the former. Because I'm not getting rid of anything. All right. Wow. This was the 8th BSD CAN. Those of you that can't do math now understand the slide. when we started, we were in a tiny little room, well, three tiny little rooms over in Montpetit. Who remembers the one back in 2004? Yeah, that was, hold up all your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, okay, 15. I remember Ryan was there. As I mentioned in the opening session, the budget for that was really tiny, and we're spending a lot more money nowadays, and mainly it's because of people like our NetApp sponsors. The amount of money that the sponsors give us allows us to do the things that we're doing in years like this. IX Systems, Usenix, Isilon? I know. It's not as bad as for the other conference I ran where I actually pronounced the two syllables of the sponsor's name in reverse order. The FreeBSD Foundation, Google, Juniper, Panasis, and Irdeto, thank you. We had a discussion of this over beer last night, and I pronounced it much better then. Adara Networks, there's people here from Adara Networks, isn't it? Hello. Sponsors, thank you. Thank you very much. Hands up if you're on the program committee. Robert Watson was also here via electronic form. Speakers, could all the speakers stand up, please? All of you? Thank you. Thank you. Who's the volunteers? Volunteers, get up. David was here. David is volunteering. They're all busy. No, didn't. And you guys, thank you very much for coming. I appreciate it. Without that, I'd just be talking to myself. I mentioned Stacy before. Stacy helped a lot with all the the travel bookings. That's the biggest single task that I have to do right after we know who's coming to speak. Now, the auction this year, in previous years, we've had an auction at the end for the swag. It's always gone to the mission just up the road. This year we're going to go to the Red Dot Relief. If you don't know what the Red Dot Relief is, it is an organization that is sending aid towards Japan after the earthquake and the tsunami. All but one of the items will be going towards that. There is an item that's going to be for auction, which the donator of the item has requested that the proceeds from that go to the FreeBSD Foundation. Bring them over. Jonathan? Yeah.
This is the one that's signed by the desk.
Okay. It's actually one item.
There we go.
Okay.
Does that work?
Okay. Just wanted to give you guys a little update on some things that have been happening in the FreeBSD Foundation world. But since we are in Canada and we have some exciting news, this is definitely the place to do it. Ed Mast has decided to join the FreeBSD Foundation board. Thank you to Ed. I'm sure he'll be making some great contributions. So you've heard about some of these projects here at this conference. These are some of the projects that we're in the process of funding and have been funded over the last year. Things like HAST and the pluggable sifter stuff and resource containers, still works in progress. But this is just a sampling of some of the projects that we're funding. We're constantly looking for new things to fund. So if you have something that you're interested in working on, but it needs some financial backing in order to make it happen, please let us know. You can always send email to board@freebsdfoundation.org. We've been sponsoring a lot of conferences. In fact, last year we sponsored more conferences than in any previous year. And there's several conferences that are coming up. I also want to thank Hiroki for his work on AsiaBSDCon. This was a pretty trying year, and it's amazing how successful it was. I also want to encourage you to look towards your BSDCon coming up at the end of this year. We had 7 travel grant recipients that came to this conference. This is something that is hugely important. I mean, it's amazing every time that I come to a conference like this, just the amount of support from the community, the amount of things that get done, the amount of innovation that actually happens during such a short period of time. So again, if you know folks that were unable to make it to this conference or are looking to go to a future conference, our travel grant program is very easy. There's a form on our website. Download it, submit it, and maybe we'll be able to help you out going to another conference. Dan covered, thanks that goes well beyond what I've put on here. There are so many people to thank, but without the support of the organizers of the FreeBSD Dev Summit and of BSDCan, events like this just wouldn't happen. And it's great to be, as the FreeBSD Foundation, to be able to do our small part towards making something like this happen. But there is somebody missing here. Robert was with us. I don't know whose laptop he's inhabiting right now, but maybe he's with us right now. We did present one of the limited edition FreeBSD Foundation supporter mugs to Dan earlier, and I mean, this is just an amazing event. This is the 8th year, I think, and it's just a privilege to be able to support your event. And for everybody here but everybody here that came by the booth and supported us, we pulled in over $1,000 just during this conference. Your support is basically the support that we need. All of our activities, the funded development, travel grants, paying legal fees for protecting the IP of our project, all of that comes from the generous support of our donors, both commercial and individual, so thank you all. We do have one more of the limited edition FreeBSD Foundation supporter mugs. We had a sign-up sheet on our at our booth. Adam Martin is at $80. So I don't know if you want to do the do the auction. I mean, I just can't do it justice, you know.
But we'll include this in the bidding.
There you go.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
One of the reasons I was asked to do this job is because I could say to Dan, give me the mic and he'd listen to me. So, everybody's been thanking people and everybody's been thanked except, of course, for the man who just walked out of the room. Only you could walk out on your own thank you. So,
I had to say bye.
I understand. It's interesting at this conference, there are actually people here who organize other conferences, so some of us know how difficult his job is. And the whole community just wanted to present you with this so that when you're thinking back to this week, you can drown your sorrows because we know you're going to need to drown them. So thank you very much, Dan. Well, you've got a mug. I can't take it back.
I can't. I just have to take it across the border. That's all. That'll be easy.
You have to buy it. Start drinking.
Oh, yeah. This is not up for auction. Oops. Thank you. Now, just got to do a quick switcheroo. Good. We're going to do this before the auction or after? Okay, we're going to do the auction first because that amazing stuff is for the end. Denise, do you have the list of the people that signed? Denise, IX Systems, you remember the poster that was sitting outside? Oops. I'll show you. In the tradition of getting things signed by people, this poster is signed by a lot of people, including Robert Watson remotely. And this is up for sale, proceeds of which are going to the FreeBSD Foundation. There are some other posters up here for sale as well, but they don't have the signatures. So anybody want this for $10? Ten. 20.
50.
50.
100.
Hand up. 100 from Matt. Next. That killed it, Matt. Do I hear $101? By the way, this year we can take credit cards. All the previous years, I forgot, I've got a PayPal account. You can send it to BSDCAN, right from your laptop.
Who's the signatures on?
The list is coming. Okay, if you sign this, put up your hand. Here's the list. Okay, this should drive the price up. Okay, as I say your name, put up your hand, please. Alexander Moten. Alexander. Chris Moore. Chris. Aaron. Aaron Lansing? Yep. Bjorn? Yep. Justin? Kirk? I think Kirk's here. Warner? Yep. John Baldwin? Philip? Yep. Brooks? Brooks Davis? Oh. Mark Linneman? Doug Robson? Powell?
PJB?
There he is. Doug. Julian. Chris Stops. Yep. Brad Davis. Peter Losher. Drew Levine. Hiroki. Michael Lucas. Sam Leffler. Sam was here. Oh, hi, Sam. Oliver. Olivier. No, they had to go. They're catching a plane. Peter Henson. Julio Marino? Hi. David O'Brien. Eric Allman. George Neville. Neil. There he is. Simon Garrity. Yep. Ivan Vorez. Ivan. And Sean Bruno. Okay, that's got to be worth at least another $20. 120? Only one of its kind. No. I'll sign one of the other ones if you want. Yep. Okay, $100 going once. $100 going twice. You don't want Matt to have this, do you? All right, sold to Matt, $100. Thank you. We're going to get away from posters for a second. Just a minute. I'm going to leave that. All right. We have something quite rare. A Kiev BSD t-shirt. Anyone been to Kiev BSD? See? None of you have this t-shirt.
What size, Dan?
Your size.
I think it's a medium. It's a medium. Well, it's that big. So if you're my size, yeah, anyway. $10. Who wants it for $10? $10 for Mr. Lucas. Do I hear $15? $15 from Kirk. $20 from Michael? Michael? Kirk? Okay. Michael? $30 from Michael. Kirk? Anyone else want in on this? Come on. This is a rare t-shirt. $40. $40 from Mr. Dexter. $40. 41? 40 going once? 40 going twice? Sold? This is gone. Thank you. Keeping in the theme of books, because we haven't been on books yet, the Book of PF. Peter's donated 2 copies of the Book of PF. Second edition, yes. He will autograph it for you. And that increases the value by 2-fold. Bidding starts at $20. 40 from Will Backman. Do I hear 45? 50 from Matt, sorry.
You'll even sign it if you want.
Yep. All the open BSD people here will sign this book for you. That was not scripted. The bid was 50 from Matt. $51? 55 from Will. $55 going once. Twice, sold to Will. Someone should start, you know, giving the money. I want to volunteer, please, someone to write down who we've sold these things to and for how much. You'll do. All right. Book of PF. Michael Lucas. No, sorry. It was Will. $55. There we go. The other two were for you. No, who bought the t-shirt? It was Michael Lucas. No? Michael Dexter. Yes. Thank you, sir. There it is. Okay. Now, we have bind 10 t-shirts. Guaranteed never to have defects. It's not C++, it's all C. It's 100% cotton and defect free. Yeah.
And it's gray.
It is size large. So is that big? $20 in the back. $25 from Mr. Maxwell. Do I hear 30? 30 from anyone? 25 going once? Twice? Sold. Thank you, sir. Next on the line, we have a one-of-a-kind t-shirt. Extra large. That doubles the value, said someone, yes. So, last one went for 25? 25, right here. Someone had their hand up? 25 in the back. Right here, 30. Should be wider audience, it's a bigger shirt. Now you hear. 30 from Mark. 40? It's worth at least 40. Come on. Good cause. 35 going once. 35 going twice. Mr. Lindemann, this is yours. Thank you. Who was here last year? You're probably in this photo. This is a single edition photograph, is it? Yes, yes. It's the only kind of a photograph.
This year, it's a single
edition. Yep. This was donated by Mr. Maxwell, who took this photograph over there. It's a Dev Summit, FreeBSD Dev Summit from last year, just outside the residence. So we'll start the bidding at $5. Who wants this for $5? $5, $10, anyone? $10, $10 over here, $15, $20, $25, $30, anyone? $30 from Mr. Baldwin? Do I hear 35? 35 from Mr. White? 40 from Mr. White?
45?
45 from Mr. Baldwin. Do I hear 50? 45 going once, 45 going twice, sold to Mr. Baldwin. Next up is a one-of-a-kind book, the Book of PF, second edition, signed by all the OpenBSD people. Do I hear $15? 15 going once? 15 in the back? 20? 20? 25 in the back?
40.
40? From who? Right. Thank you, Ryan. What was it, 40? Do I hear 45? $40 going once?
45.
45 going once? Do I hear 50? 45 going twice?
50.
50 from Mr. Ryan.
You're on drugs.
Second edition book? 50? 50 going once? 50 going twice? Sold to Mr. Ryan. Thank you very much. Still in the original shrink wrap, Network Flow Analysis by Mr. Lucas. Is this your donation, sir? Network Flow Analysis goes in well with a lot of topics that were on here. $20 in the back? Do I hear 25? 25. Do I hear 30? 30, please. 25 going once? The author will sign this.
30
going once. Do I hear 35? 35, please. 35 going once. Twice sold. Thank you. I like the title of the next book, mainly because it describes some of us at you know, in the middle of the night. Cisco Writers for the Desperate. If anyone's ever had to deal with a Cisco router, this is the one you need. Can you change?
No, certainly.
Okay, good. Just making sure. Thank you. Do I hear an initial bid on this book?
$20.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. T-shirt, picture, something? Oh, yeah. $10. Who wants the book for $10? Was there an initial bid already? $10 going once?
What?
$20 to Ryan. $25? At least bid up Ryan. $25. Do I hear 30? 30 going once? 25 going once? 30. 30. 30 going once?
It's a good cause.
30 going twice? Sold. Thank you, Mr. Ryan. I had a piece of paper that went with us. Here it is. Highly desirable, limited edition donor mug, silent auction. The bid is now up to $80 for this mug. It is a one of a kind, apart from the one I have. It holds a pint and a half. Several times last night. The results are reproducible.
U.S. or Canadian mugs?
Yes. Both. Which is larger? U.S. Canadian, yeah. It holds real pints. It holds British pints. So do I hear $81 for this? If I don't, it's already sold. Is Adam here?
Sorry.
Oh, okay. This is yours then. If no one else, $80 going once? Better put it down. Going twice? Anyone else? Adam, thank you very much. Is these posters? Huh?
Somebody's suggesting that you put the email address for the PayPal up to them, if you can.
That would be that website. Oh, for
the auction.
For
just tell everybody.
If you're going to pay with credit card, you can go to bsdcan.org, click on Contact Us. There's a PayPal link right there. All right. There are three more posters. They're identical to the ones that we already sold, except they're not signed.
They're actually, each one is different.
Each one is different. Okay. This will be. Do you have the cash now, Adam? Do you have the cash now?
No, you have 65.
But that's not my money. Okay. This is that poster. What's this one called?
It says on the
X shoe, IX shoe. Oh. So this poster. Oh yeah. He's got the green sneakers. And then he's got IX on the side of the sneakers. So, anyone want this poster for $10? Remember, it's going to a good cause. We get a lot of people in the projects in Japan. $20, thank you. $25. Do I hear $25? $25 going once? Going twice? $25 over here. Do I hear 30? 26. 26 is good enough. 27. Do I hear 28? 28 going once?
He said
20, yeah, sorry. 27. 27 going once? Do I hear 28? 27 going twice? Three times? Sold. Thank you. Either. Doesn't matter. Whatever you got. That charge. Okay, the next poster is Web. Web. It's titled Web. $10 going once. 20 going twice. Sorry, 20. Do we hear 21? No. Do I hear 21? Do I hear $21?
21 here.
21 here? It's a nice poster. Some of you may appreciate the fireplace. Is that on the other poster, by the way?
Yeah.
It is. It's on all of them?
Yeah, that's on all of them.
Yeah, okay. Those of you that cannot tell, you have to look very closely at the aquatic animal on the spit. No, I didn't want to say that.
25.
See, the bids go up. 25. We hear 26.
30.
35. 35. Do I hear 36? 35 going once? Going twice? Oh, $40? $40. Come on, roasted penguin. Everyone wants roasted penguin.
$42.
Good price. $43. Do I hear $43? $42 going once, going twice. Sold. Thank you very much. Your poster is right on that corner. Thank you. You'll have to put it back in the container yourself. Okay. Next up is a poster from IX Systems titled Wide Window, Not Plural. $10. $20. $25. What was that in the front? $20. David?
$25.
$30. It's the last poster. $40. $45. You haven't even seen it yet. Yes. He's reading a book on ZFS. If you think it'll increase the value, I will or will not sign it, depending on your preference. What's the current bid? If it goes to someone else, would you sign it upon request? Huh? You gonna let him have his poster, or?
I can also not sign.
Yeah. And not tell anyone he didn't sign it. 50 in the back. Do I hear 51? Last poster you can get of this kind. 51? 52? 51 going once? 52, hands up. 52?
55?
56? 60. $61. Yay! 61 going one. You can pull your money, O'Brien.
I don't know.
65. It's it. Okay, 65 going once. Anyone else? 65 going twice? Sold. Thank you. Your t-shirt.
PayPal you.
Okay, thank you. There's your shirt. There's, what? Yes, that is good. Oh, wait. That's the one he won. I think it was $150, wasn't it, Matt? Okay. Last up. Yes. How much do I owe you?
65.
Excuse me for this one moment. That's 35. Thank you. Last up, this really is truly the last such book. Yes. This has been provided by the author, Michael W. Lucas. This is the last existing copy of this book for sale anywhere in the world. It is still in the original shrink wrap. The author has signed it. That was a long pause. It is the second edition. It's in Chris, sorry?
$2.
$3 from the author. Sorry, sir? $4.
$5.
$5.50. $6.
$7.20.
Hands up. $7.25. $9.99 from the author. $10. Who said 50? Sorry?
Yeah.
That's fine. You got to shout it out and put up your hand.
Okay, I did that.
I didn't see it.
You okay. Thought he said
50. $50. Do I hear 51.50? I'll even take American. Sorry?
So they're only $20.
Yeah. No, actually, if you check, it's not. More like 80 American dollars. Oh. 50 going once. Michael will sign it if you want him to. 50 going twice.
For the same price.
For the same price. No additional cost. Sold. $50. Thank you very much. I don't know the total. Does anyone know the total? I'll give it to my accountant. Plus there was... Mark, you gave me how much by PayPal?
30.
And Matt, yours, how much do you owe us?
100.
100, so 130. And?
80.
80. So 210. Someone do the math. I'm not good at that.
What about your shirt?
No. No.
25.
We really need the for and against community. 40 to keep it on. 40 to keep it on. How much to take it off?
45.
45. Only if you're willing to stick the fives in my belt loop. $409
in
your hand, so plus the 130, 210. So we've raised just over $619. So at least $619. I'll have to check.
It's almost in U.S. dollars, so
yeah, it's only about $600. Yeah, so it's about $600. When I get all the cash assembled, I'll make the donation and post the. A photograph of the receipt to my Facebook page so someone at least will see it. Okay.
So you take your shirt off? Is that where we're
at? No. Yeah, but the winning bid was in Canadian dollars, I'm sorry.
Don't forget the auction off the net app posters.
Yes.
There are 5 NetApp posters if anyone's interested. Is anyone interested in having a NetApp poster?
$10.
Hands up. $10. Hands up. $10. No, you got to take it yourself. Oh, by the way, only 3 of them have packages. So there are 3 boxes, such as this, but there are 5. So one of them has 2. 2 of them have 2, and one of them has 1. So I think it's only fair if we sell them. Well, it's up to you guys.
2 of them as umbrellas.
They do not come with a weasel. Anyone remember my Facebook updates about buying weasels? Easels, okay. How many people are interested in a NetApp poster? Hands up, please. 3 of you. Okay, that makes it very even. Okay, how much? 5? 10? 15? Anyone for 15? Yeah, okay. Each one of you can have one for $10. Is that okay? Anyone else want one? We have spares.
No boxes.
No boxes. Okay, bring those in. Any other questions? I've got a few closing comments, revelations that came to me during one of the talks earlier on, but if anyone has any questions or comments, I'll take them before we... sort of move on. You can get a box too. Yeah, he's okay. When I was in Eric Allman's talk, I was chatting with a friend's daughter on Facebook because she's been sick lately, and She was asking me where I was and what I was. Oh, sorry.
$4.
I was asking her where I. She was asking where I was and what I was doing. I said I was listening to a guy give a talk about some software that's been around for a very long time, and she didn't sound very impressed about that. And then I explained to her that chances are, most if not all of the email that you've been sending has gone through this guy's software. And she thought that was pretty cool. And then I explained a little bit about some of the people that were at this conference this year built the tools upon which the internet is founded. And then I thought a bit longer and realized that there was more to add, that some of the people here today are working on the tools we'll be using on the internet in the future. And that gave me a big warm fuzzy feeling. Should give you guys a warm fuzzy feeling too, because the work that you're doing is actually more important than you probably think it is, and it will be used in the future, and it will be used by a lot of people, people that have never have heard of you or the software that you're creating, but it will be incredibly useful, and don't forget that. That's the main thing. So thank you very much. See you next year. Have a good time.